Welcome to Mr. Black Pasta's Bloody Basement. I'm Mr. Black. Isn't that cool? This is my show, where we talk about God knows what. Well, I've got my head in my heart.
Fuck you! No, fuck you! No, fuck you!
I would be dead if they both fell apart.
Oh, no.
I've got no time for my fears.
Leave me the fuck alone!
They fade away, but they won't disappear,
Basement Podcast.
By Mr. Black Pasta.
The Bloody Basement Podcast. The Bloody Basement Podcast. We're back.
Why did you say it twice?
Because she coughed on the first one. Now I have to leave that in, or I have to say it a third time. The Bloody Basement Podcast. Oh, Joe.
Shut the fuck up. That's DFU.
We're back. I'm Mr. Black. Joe's vaping in the house already. It feels like a 70s weed room, definitely. Already. Like a Woodstock tent.
What's happening? Irish Joe, also known as Big Joe from my block.
Here we go. And we've also got Mrs. B sitting next to me, because there's no way I'm letting her sit next to Irish Joe.
Hello.
Again, all right, babe.
And we've also got, I'm not alone tonight, I'm not the only yank in the house, we've got Connie.
I'm not handsome.
What's your nickname, did you say?
Connie Lingus.
Connie Lingus. That's very good. What do you know what that means, Joe?
It would be great if I was a lesbian.
No. No, I don't know what it means.
Does not give you Connie a clue?
Lingus? Lingus?
No.
He's thinking Aer Lingus. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking of an airplane. Mrs. B, what were you up to today?
Working. And workout.
And a workout, yeah?
Yeah.
And you're on the podcast again, your third podcast?
Yes, scary.
Is it by force or was it consensual?
Forced.
She likes being forced. Courtney reports.
May the force be with you. Connie,
yes.
Tell me about yourself. I'm not the only American in Derry, Ireland anymore. I've got to make way. There's got to be room for us in this town. So tell me about
yourself.
I know,
and I heard you were illegal as well.
I was illegal, and I'm finally not.
But they actually deported you.
Twice.
They're not getting me out alive.
American stubborn bastard.
We'll harbor you. We'll, you could be like our Anne Frank. I put floor down in the attic. We'll give you a typewriter.
Thank God I've lost some weight. I should be able to fit up there.
Well, you're a comedian. You're a psychic. You've got a lot of things going on at the minute. Where do you want to start?
Well, my passion right now, besides staying here, is my one-woman show.
Okay.
Because apparently the past 12 years of my life have given me the PhD in grief. And it was actually, you know, the funny, because when people ask me, all right, I don't know CPR.
He's going to use that.
I've forgotten CPR.
He's going to use that. Look, he's thinking of that. He's wishing he had his phone so he could save that and use that.
I don't even have just choked, I swear. I apologize.
He's going to steal. Don't be telling any of your work here tonight, Connie, because he's going to take it and use it and say it was his.
Well, she has her leg this down. She's here legally.
Technicality.
I need a mic drop sound there. He always gets them. Go ahead, Connie.
So for me, it was not my idea to do this. My son passed at 16, 4 months after leukemia diagnosis in 2007. And then in 2013, because of the work that my husband and I do, he was a professional medium. He sees dead people. And I would hear my son, and he goes, "Mommy, write a comedy show about losing me." Yeah, awesome. And that's pretty much what I said. And then I said, yeah, fuck you, I'm not doing it.
I don't know if that's a joke. Are you serious?
You're serious?
Well, I'm serious.
And a joke.
Wow.
That's exactly what happened. And we were in Belfast because that was Martin's first illness. And I said, yeah, no. Pointing the finger. And the next thing I know, I started taking notes. And I'm like, stop that. Get out of my fucking head. Stop it. And I started taking notes. And I've been doing open mics. And yeah, he won. So now we're expanding it into a one-woman show, and I get to add my husband. Yay!
And I saw a bit of your stand-up. I think it was maybe 5-6 minutes of that show, was it?
Yeah, because I did.
Routine?
Well, that it was an open mic because I was actually applying. They said, you know, people say things, and it was for a grief conference, and they were looking for out-of-the-box tools. And I don't know what more could be out-of-the-box than humor, you know, when someone passes. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't feel bad about, because this is my son, and it really, as a parent, it's the worst thing you can go through. And yet I was able to find humor.
Yeah, which is awesome, man. That's just
in between the devastation, because our motto is about turning devastation into celebration.
That's I've always said that when I die, I want the people that love me to have a party.
Yeah,
none of this black and white cry shit. I want Tupac and Eminem on the radio.
Yeah,
in the church, right? Because there's enough of you. There's only one priest. You can outpower him. Like,
oh,
I want to have a rocking session. Yeah, none of
that's what we did. I mean, Andrew told us what to do after he passed, and we, you know, because again, in the States, it's a whole other ballgame. I found I've never gone to an Irish funeral till my husband's. Yay! And with my sons, my Martin and I did it. And Andrew told us what to do, and it was the funeral home, you know, it was only a viewing for a few hours. And we had them do his two thumbs up, because that's what he always did.
Wow.
And it was really nice that his friend, I mean, they were just so devastated, because it was kind of like out of the blue, because he was doing so well. And one of his friends said, is it okay to say I had a really good time at Andrew's service? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, see, that's what it should be.
Celebrate their life. Like, I have that's actually on my wall. And my wall is, you know, nobody's to be wearing the whole white shirt and black tie.
Yeah.
It's actually on my wall.
There was singing, there was dancing, there was jokes. I mean, to give you an idea, which is part of my act, Andrew wrote his own eulogy. Because again, all our friends are psychics. So one of our friends that was there said, all right, Martin, Andrew's telling me he's ready to give you his eulogy. And because Martin was avoiding it. And so my son started, and this is all up on YouTube on our channel. We have it in four different sections.
What's your channel? What's the name?
It's the Dynamic Duo 777. We are the neighbor of the beast of 666.
Wow.
But yeah, Dynamic Duo 777, and I'll be making that active more, doing more podcasts. But my son started his eulogy with, I'm not going to have my parents talk about how great I am. I already know that.
Oh, awesome.
And so it just, that's what ensued later was, you know, the entire time was the laughter and the joy and the dancing, and Martin sang a John Denver song, and you know, this is the thing that I had to end. I actually have my second book, and I didn't know where to end it because it's about the journey with our son, No Regrets. And a friend told me, she said, I will tell you that what hit me at Andrew's service was when you and Martin danced, because it was so intimate, and that we allowed everybody in that. And you know, and Martin and I continued to dance every day for months after Andrew passed.
Wow.
Again, you know, to his favorite songs and stuff. So my goal with this show is to get people to look at grief in a different way, in a new way.
Better way?
In a better way. And, you know, because this is what, because we work with parents that have lost kids, children, and I said, do you want to build a wall or a bridge? It's always your choice. Because I feel that, yes, I even put on my son's poster that we had for his benefit, and then I had put at a service, and I put next to his picture, to be continued.
See, that's fucking amazing.
Wow.
That's such a much better approach to it. I find that quite inspiring.
I agree.
Well, here's my other joke that I recently wrote, because I realized, because people are like, well, the dead are dead. I'm like, oh, you have no idea. So then I realized that we should be so dead. And so I find that there's a new kind of body shaming. The lack of body shaming.
That's so good.
Because I'm like, just because my husband and son don't have a body doesn't mean that they're not part of my life still.
Yeah, true.
And that I cannot continue to work with them. They're on the other side. I mean, everybody thinks it's this place far away, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, so my goal is to help people see that your loved ones are still there. They're in your ear. They're sending you signs. Pay the fuck attention.
Yeah.
You know, and allow that joy to come in, because they're happy. And if you think I'm going to sit here and cry and carry on, which I do that periodically, but I'm out to have a good time, because they're having a good time. And if they think they left me here alone to fight this fucking battle and I'm not going to have a good time, yeah.
Awesome.
That's class.
That's so inspiring. Connie, that's so inspiring. That's
no,
awesome.
I mean, and that, you know, and like I said, you know, I tell people, I said, yeah, I, you know, again, part of my joke is that I hear my husband at inappropriate times saying inappropriate things, especially in church. And I'm like, dude, where are the passwords? I need technical help. You need to shut the fuck up right now and help me when I really need it, you know?
That's class. So is it just randomly, or do you have to, like, I don't know what way it works.
Well, for me, you know, I would give you an idea. Because Martin, I held the space for Martin because he was a research chemist. He didn't even believe in any of this stuff. The irony of it all. And he's, you know, he excelled at anything he went after. So for him, I held the space for him to to do this work because I took care of the 3D stuff, third dimensional, like paying bills. Because when him and I both were doing it, things weren't getting paid. And I said, yeah, I'm going to tap out. You've been seeing dead people for a really, you know, since you were a kid. I have not. Wow. So, and he was just really good at it. And so he, it was for him, it was all the time. It was fun watching him in hospitals, courthouses, airports. It was so much fun.
He's a very charismatic guy. I remember him at my gig in the jazz festival in Derry. It must be 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just fun. It was a fucking great guy to be around.
Yeah, great sense of humor. So for me, I hear them at random times. I would hear Andrew, you know, or like when I was driving or when I was cooking. I remember my daughter was pregnant and I, you know, and he would always help me cook. And I said, you know what, dude, I'm so excited that we get to be grandparents, but you know, she's never going to fill your shoes. And I'm crying, right? And I'm cutting up the chicken. And I hear, well, mommy, she'd have to have mad clown feet to fill my shoes. Wow. And the irony is the other grandparents were actual clowns. And I'm like, you're an asshole. Shut up.
That's great, man.
So do you actually see, like the way they do in the film? Sixth Sense?
For me, Martin did. Martin was very clairvoyant. For me,
is that the difference between a medium and clairvoyant?
No, are
they synonyms? Or
well, see, all mediums are psychic. Not all psychics are medium.
Okay.
And you know, it really kind of depends. So for Martin, I mean, he saw dead people all the time, and you know, he would have to really kind of shut himself down when we would go out because,
So he would have seen them like a
yeah. Yeah, because when we were at the, I call it the clown house, it was the Ronald McDonald house, and he would be walking there, because I had the night shift, so he'd be walking there, and we stayed at the largest Ronald McDonald house in the world, and so he's really tired, and he's walking, and he sees this older gentleman in the window sitting in the chair, and he's waving to him, and Martin waves back, and then he goes in, and he's like, there was nobody there.
No way. Ah, it's so good.
And then he would come into
That vibe off him, he would have been like that. Yeah,
wow,
totally.
That's crazy.
And then he would, when we first got in the hospital, he said when he was walking through like the NICU and all that, all these grandparents, tell my daughter, tell them this, you know, and all these spirits were coming around. He goes, I'm here for my son. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're going to have to like leave me alone.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that, wow. That's,
see, for me, it's not like that yet, but I have a feeling once I get through, you know, my grief process, it's probably going to be.
Maybe.
That's crap. How fucked off would you be but having that talent or that skill and some bastard dies who owed you a lot of money? Would you see him all the time? You can do fuck all about it. Like, fuck, you owe me £20.
Imagine, no, he would just play it back at you. Never going to get this.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm going to go after your girlfriend.
Streets of gold, motherfucker.
How funny would that be? You'd be so pissed off, like, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we haven't had that happen, though.
Not around there, joke. It's on the house.
You're a good mon.
You can work on it a wee bit, Connie. It's Irish Joe joke.
Joe knows.
They don't even know what he says.
Well, that's like, I mean, I do throw people under the bus because after Martin passed, and this is his cousin who was very close to him, and I'm very close to her, and we were at the Shipkey Hotel, and her brother-in-law's friend's father owns it, and so his friend manages it, and I was saying, oh, we wanted to do walking ghost tours here. And I said, you know, we were always looking for a place to end up. And they were saying, I think they might have said there was spirit. I mean, there's spirits everywhere here anyway. But so I said, no, my husband passed away. You know, and because I think he said, you know, what does he do? I said, oh, he sees dead people. And then my cousin, out of the blue, just right there goes, he sees more of them now.
Ah, shit.
And this poor guy goes, I don't know what to do with that. I said, we're laughing. Just laugh.
So... So, being in contact with spirits or people who have passed, I mean, you would know a lot more than me. Joe's actually had a couple of things happen to him, and he'll start getting like goosebumps
and crying,
And stuff. He tells you
he would not.
Would you? You didn't see him when we went to see Eminem live.
I was crying.
Did you cry like a little girl?
Him up.
No.
Not you fucking dick. I cried. I got emotional. Big fan.
Emotional big fan. I was Joe the Don.
I don't give a fuck. I'll admit it to anybody. No, I don't care.
Mr. Black Pastas.
Bloody Basement Podcast.
No, I know that, but we were... What concert? I was at 3 or 4 of him in a concert.
That was when he was in Bangor.
Yes, when we met Paul Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Banger. I get made fun of for the way I say banger.
Banger.
Banger. Banger. Banger. Banger.
It's a banger, isn't it?
But they, I did, but you have to bear in mind, like, I had no money, like, we were scant as fuck. I could have never even thought of leaving Derry just to go to Belfast, a run.
So being able to go to Belfast and see Eminem and being able to afford to do something like that was emotional on its own. Yeah. And then when I got to go, we were right up a fucking front and getting a photograph of Eminem's manager by Paul Rosenberg, standing with us. With like, Justin was there too. We're like, told you, goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
He's got goosebumps.
And that's the chat. Look, two lads, really.
And Connie, Eminem's alive.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah. What experiences are you going about with me?
You're usually telling some ghost stories there at Halloween.
You're making shit up.
Were we taking a hand?
No.
Taking a piss? No.
Jermaine did, and you had two.
I can't even mind.
Scary experience.
Oh, you know when we were kids at Lemon Christie School?
Maybe.
No, I can't even mind now.
It's on the podcast anyway. A couple episodes ago.
Was he high?
Probably drunk.
Funny enough, we never Joe asked. Doesn't get high.
I don't smoke.
Was he drunk?
Or drunk. Or drink.
I think he drinks it once a month.
Was he breathing really heavy, like deep, and maybe made himself high?
Is he hyperventilating?
Yes. Hyperventilating, is right. No, I think it'd be more than that. Jeez, no, I think it would be, in the space of 10 years, we probably drank about 14 times.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Jeez.
So, really?
And Connie, you're having a glass tonight?
Well, duh.
Why not?
Welcome to the house. She's having a house wine. Mrs. B, what are you drinking tonight?
A quince. Water.
Quince. What
yeah.
the fuck
quince
is quince?
With water.
Yeah. Why does she even be here?
What is quince? Tell us about quince.
Quince. This little yellow, hard
immigrant
fruit.
Water.
Immigrant water. Immigrant water.
Immigrant it's hard water. You just have to Google quince.
Quince, yeah. Right. Okay, cool. And what do you
You're drinking there and you don't even know what it is?
I do know what it is.
In Latin.
You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what Connie Lingus is.
So you should tell me what it is.
He doesn't know what fellatio is. So.
Have you ever met cunnilingus and fellatio?
No, I'm on a diet.
The twins.
I'm on a diet. Thanks. I'm able to make and cut back. I thought you were on about earlier when you were saying that I had experiences. I thought you were on about like when the time I fell off a tree in Lemon Christie School.
No.
When I had
like a ghostly, scary experiences.
Yeah, you said at Halloween, he's probably making shit up, Connie.
I probably was.
This is the problem. This is the type of person we need to expose. Irish Joe. Talking shit.
No.
Given your genre a bad name. Yeah.
Given your... What?
Genre.
Oh, the Ghost Boys. If anything, I'm keeping them on the map.
Are you?
Yeah, because if that story that I told
is
you was
you
a lie,
brought them on your show, the Joe Show,
Joan Hoos. Like if I didn't bring that story up or make a story up in that type of way, you wouldn't have brought it up there now.
That's true. Yeah.
So you need people like me.
I just wanted to get a head to head going with you two and see if who's going to win that one, because I think you've got competition tonight.
No, I think we just are good. There'd be no competition. It'd be just a good team.
I think it's nicer to listen to Connie than you, and she can understand her. You know,
fuck, it was our language. She's fucked it up.
So they say.
Connie's going out to Americans, and you're going out to Americans. I wonder who they'll understand more.
Well, I.
But
know
it doesn't matter. They'll like me more. I'm Irish.
You have a point.
I will give him that.
Yeah. All Americans think they're Irish.
He's
trying to
stir shit between us.
What?
He's trying to stir shit.
Just I'm just making the snowballs and passing them out.
No, you're grand. I'll end up kissing her, so it doesn't matter.
Now I'm calling your wife.
Don't know.
It's the second podcast I've had to threaten that. But the last one was all men, so I'm kind of wondering.
Well, to be all the same, meet the pull.
So, your one-woman show, are you gonna do psychic medium stuff? Are you going to do stand-up? Or is it a play?
Yeah, it's a play. It's going to be a little bit of my stand-up mixed in with the story, because there's things that in a stand-up, because stand-up is very timed.
Right.
And with a one-woman show, I can share more of the more powerful stories. It gives me more freedom than stand-up does.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little mixture.
Nice, hey?
Yeah, of that.
And will we get to see this in Derry?
Yes.
Really?
It's starting in Derry.
And Derry, sweet. And where? Where can we see it?
I don't know yet. I was talking instant messaging with my director, producer. So we're going to start rehearsing next week. And we don't know yet. She's in a lot of different theaters, so we're going to see, because I have to find one that's going to take me under their wing, because
nice one.
I got no money.
Yeah, I think you will, though. I've seen, as I say, some of your stuff online. It was fantastic. It was really, really. Have you still got a link to that?
Yeah, it's on my Dynamic Duo.
It's
in my Dynamic Duo. We can actually get a link to that specific one.
It was so good to watch. It's got this.
I was really shocked
really
that you loved it so much.
Yeah, it had this really nice, I guess you could say, shock humor, but in a great way. It turned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It turned it from what you would be thinking.
When you do your when you get the when we get I get the link or something, I'll share it on my Facebook page.
Here no, we
I'm
go.
Gonna, I'm going to be at
Contact Media.
We have 23,000 followers. I'll share for you.
You're a good mom.
Fake
there.
Accounts. He made them.
They're all fake accounts.
I'm going to be at Bennigan's on March 14th.
Bennigan's and Derry on March 14th.
Yeah.
And what time is that going to be? Part of open mic? Is this your night?
It's just an open mic, and I get like they usually have me on before 10. It starts at 9. I get like 9 to I get 7 to 10 minutes. We might. I asked Rory if we might be able to do a bit of a fundraiser since I'm in illegal and get nothing and fuck all, and I'm not allowed to work.
Yeah, that sucks, doesn't it? I mind when my, I remember when my immigration was waiting to go through, and that was one of the things they said was like, oh, you're not allowed to work until this goes through, and it's like 7 or 8 months.
The Mexicans is doing it for years now, Maracas, so we get a job from
I know, I work with them.
All right,
so. Now I'm one of them.
You know what I mean? You get a job, surely.
I mean, I always felt for them, but damn.
It's hard for Americans when they move country because they still feel like they're in America for 5 years. It takes 5 years for that to wear off.
I know, and I've been coming here for 30.
I mean,
I'm only 29, so go figure.
Exactly, yeah, me too. Me too, I'm 29. Joe's the oldest.
Yeah. Fucking on which I'm on.
Look at you.
You're about 45.
Can't be the Don and be in your 20s, why is it?
I said my daughter would get older than me, and she is now.
Class. I like that. That's class. But my wee brother, he immigrated in New York about, it must be 4 years now, 3 or 4 years. He got a job with, it's actually a dairy man who owns the fucking whole construction company from Gaelic. From Gaelic.
Wow.
From Gaelic. Owns a massive construction company.
Gaelic style.
Gaelic style. Wow.
Gaelic style.
Shit, I've never heard accent if I say it.
No, never.
No, that's all we do in my family. Go, because we lived in Gaelic. My sister-in-law lived in Gaelic. My brother-in-law's still there.
No, we did as well.
Well, that's cracker, hey. We should do like a comedy video, but boys joyriding. whoop, Gaelic style. The cops just them.
Gaelic is a place in Derry. How would you describe Gaelic?
The Joe? Projects.
The hood projects.
You heard it from Irish Joe.
But on benefits.
Not from American Justin.
Yeah, it'll be like the projects, but on really good benefits.
I mean, considering that I've seen projects in the States, it's still stellar.
All the projects in the States is just different. They were built to be.
We were living there crazy. Back in 92, 93.
Yeah, same. I think that's the year I was there as well in the projects. And there was a drive-by in the playground out in front of our house. And then we moved quite quickly.
My daughter was 11 at the time, and I felt safer letting her roam the streets than when we lived in Fort Lauderdale.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Because they were stealing kids and doing
all
kinds
of stuff.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah. The white van stuff going on.
Yeah.
Also. Oh,
and
that's
it's
crazy.
So funny because now white vans... Mm. With no window, stop and offer me a ride. I always get in. Thankfully, it's always my cousin, Patty.
Ah, so
I'm like,
yeah.
Who gets in a van, a slow moving van with no windows? I do.
That's crack mugger.
Can you just imagine, Patty?
Get in.
I'll tell you what. Let's play a track and we'll take a wee break. Yeah. What I've got is we've had Noella Hutton on the podcast. You remember that, Joe? Don't you?
Aye. Oh shit! I forgot to say to you about the way. I brought up my wee brother in New York.
Go ahead.
So we got the job with the Gaelic man, and they just clicked, got on great. Each other was fucking, I guess, so good them, you know. And my wee brother was there for like 4 months, and he gave him a raise. Wow. My brother's like, what is that for? He's just because you're the only fucking Irish one shows off your work on a Monday.
Wow.
Because they all have the during the Monday Club.
Are you sure it's not Derry Minis?
No, there is a lot.
There's
a
the
lot
Monday
of dairy,
Club. Yeah, there's the whole Monday Club.
There's
thing
the whole
in
Monday
dairy,
Club. Like. So he says you're the only band shows up for your work on a Monday and all. And then 6 months down the line, and another 6 months in a year, and he just kept giving them more money, upping his wages.
Wow.
And then they started dropping off at a fucking big ass building site. James, oh, what's a cracking? What do you want me to do? And the hunch there, you watch, make sure we Mexicans are working.
Jesus Christ.
Jason says to me, he says, I swear, man, he says it was like an episode of Sopranos. He says, no, the Sopranos all sat in the vault and sing. James is sitting there, no.
Get to work.
Hey, amigo!
But they'd have loved Jason.
He's up in the roof and all them fucking saying no Snapchats and all. You know?
He would be hanging out with them. Not the boys he works with.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? So he married a girl out there and they got his green card today. He got his
nice one, hey.
Citizenship in New York, like. But he went out for like 3 months just to work and test the field, and he met her and boom.
Now he can travel.
I kind of went. I think, well, my mess, I'm bad.
Jason's got his sorted. I've got mine sorted. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but We nice have to get that strike, we Connie.
Have to,
so
we have
let's...
to get rid of Wannies.
What?
Sorry, Justin.
Well, I think
you
we should, you know, you two guys are getting the green cards. Maybe we should take a woman instead.
Yeah, well, it's
take
true.
Jason's off.
Just saying.
So yeah. Let's take a break. We'll take a song from Blood, which is Noella Hutton and Jeanette Hutton.
Oh,
with,
what a song.
Yeah, a fantastic. Song. Well, that's the band's name.
All right.
But, this is live. I recorded this live, shared it with Patreons, but here's the audio for Blood, Horses in Heaven, live on the Bloody Basement Podcast, but not live on the Bloody Basement Podcast, just a live version on the Bloody Basement Podcast.
Just fucking play the song. Fuck, would
you? Now that that's dick. Clear.
It's a wee song. We lost our brother 2 years ago, and happy times. It's not funny, like, but... You have to see the funny side in some.
You'd like the song.
I love the song. He was up there grinning like. Oh, our albums are available. So I'm gonna be holding them. You just come up and ask me. Sorry, Jeanette. Merchandise. Somebody has to pay for it. Okay.
Now lies led, darkness prevailed. We couldn't save you from yourself. I thought of you today, like every other day. The only love you had was in the bookies. And I hope there are horses in heaven. And I hope you're having better luck up there. I know you had to leave, but you left your mark on me. And I hope there are horses in heaven. God give him strength to accept what he's been dealt. Courage to go on in peace. He believed in you despite what he's been through. Hold him tightly to you. And I hope there are horses in heaven. And I hope you're having better luck up there. I know you had to leave, but you left your mark on me. And I hope there are horses in heaven. His journey doesn't end. Yeah, I'm sure he'll find a friend. Share his love like you. Oh, please don't weep for me. At last I am free. Cherish all the good in me. And I hope there are horses in heaven. And I hope you're having better luck up there. I know you had to leave, but you left your mark on me. And I hope there are horses in heaven. And I hope there are horses in heaven. And I hope there are horses in heaven.
Thank you very much.
Thank
folks.
You, folks. Enjoy the rest of your
Thank
night.
Thank you very much. Enjoy
Thank
the rest
you so
of your
much.
Night. Thank you.
The Bloody Basement Podcast. That was Blood with Horses in Heaven. That was live at a gig put on by Rossboro. I actually got to film and record that, so... Quite happy to have that. We're back with Irish Joe. We're back with Connie Lingus.
Mrs. C?
Shit,
Mrs.
Sorry, I forgot.
We're back with Mrs. B, and we're getting a selfie.
Maybe, no, it's a video. Maybe brought her to shout out to New York.
Shouts out to Big Jason with the little legs. Little chicken legs.
Okay, I got chicken legs now.
Yeah, but he's a cage fighter, so he shouldn't have chicken legs.
All right, and he's a dude.
And
so.
he's in New York, so he can't do a damn thing about it.
Not yet, anyway.
Mrs. B, what do you got planned this week? What are we doing for Valentine's Day?
We already did our Valentine's
What did we
Day?
Do for Valentine's Day?
We went to a spa.
You went to a spa?
Yeah, it was like a day spa.
A day spa.
Yeah, I worked in a day spa. They are awesome, especially when you work at them and you're slow. I went home and I said, Martin, what did you do all day? Talk to women about loser relationships. And I said, I had two guys rub my body and a seaweed body, you know, and naked in a hug. It was great. So, yeah, wow. Day spas are amazing.
But that was a wee short one. It was a wee treatment. Then we got the hot tub and we got sauna.
Yes.
And we got two treatments each.
And tea. Then, you know, the wee bonds and all. So it was lovely.
They had little cabins out the back and stuff.
Where is that at?
Killaloe,
just outside of Derry. Like you're heading towards Belfast. Here, really. Where the Titanic was created
15 minutes
for Americans, but not that far.
Nice. Yeah, because I worked at a high-end spa, so it was really nice because it was brand new, and so not a lot of people knew. Mm. So then we would just do treatments on each other.
I think that's like this one. It's called The Secret...
The Secret Spa and Glamour's Glumpin'.
But yeah, you could hire out the barbecue
that's like
pit,
more like a
pavilion kind of thing. But
like camping
we're not
type
that
of
rich.
Thing, because they have little pods and all, and it's more like outdoorsy. So it is very nice.
And Irish Joe's back.
Different.
Don't stall here, you might want to chat
on it. On his phone. You can tell when Joe's on the phone, can't you? Mm-hmm. He doesn't make a sound.
Too quiet.
Fuck up.
If you don't hear Joe, and you hear nothing else, he's on the phone. If you don't hear Joe, but you hear...
Fuck.
Or...
All right, that's not Connie Lingus or fellatio.
Have you figured? He's googling fellatio and Connie Lingus.
Oh, no.
Because he doesn't know what it is.
I definitely don't know what it is.
Either or.
Mrs. B, you heading home to Latvia anytime soon?
Yes, in March.
Yeah, how long?
Just for a week.
Do I get to go with you?
No.
Why?
She has to go and feed her boyfriend, yeah, madman.
I don't know.
I was going to go back to Florida in March, and I don't get to.
I would love to take you to Florida sometime. It's really nice.
I would just love to go to America.
You need to go to Sarah.
Would you love to go to America?
Yeah, I would.
My wife doesn't want to go, but I'm going to go.
I would want to go anywhere.
Sarasota would be even, because even like you can go to Orlando. We're 90 minutes from Epcot.
Sarasota is where the Air Force Base is?
No, that's actually north of us. We have the number one beach in the U.S.
Oh, really?
Number three in the world. I don't know if it's still
is it off the A1A?
That's the East Coast. We're the West.
Oh, you're West, right. Gotcha. Oh, that's beautiful.
Siesta
Florida
Key. Well, do you watch MTV? They actually have a TV show on Siesta. It's called Siesta Beach.
Is it like one of those shows like Jersey Shore and Jordy Shore?
It kind of is. The only reason why I've watched it a few times is because when they're actually at the beach.
Well, yeah, it's where you're from.
Because I'm like, I don't know. I've never seen those people on those beach. You know, it's all the rich kids and all that. And then my friends work in Siesta Village.
Just a bunch of extras, apparently. That's what they do on those shows. All those people you see that are supposed to be public.
Well, my friends have waited on the actors in that show, and they're kind of dicks, so.
Well, you know.
I was in Florida 3 times, like.
Were you? I know you were in L.A.
I was in Florida.
I like Southern California, too.
I know.
Good hair days.
I was in Florida. I was in Florida 3 times, and I was in San Diego, El Centro, Mexicali, went to the ghetto.
Yeah.
I mean, there was kids running there, fucking couldn't even speak yet, and they're trying to sell DVDs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I went to, what is it, Tijuana. By the end of the day, you're ready to kick these kids to the curb. He's like, stop, enough already. I'm not giving you money. I'm not buying anymore.
Jeez, that's like when they sent Carl Pilkington to, where was it? Egypt, I think. And you know the way they sort of like... They spot like an American or Englishman and they're like, oh, here's a tourist. Get him in to buy drinks and buy himself food. So they're all at you. And they kept following him through the market. There's a whole crowd of them. Come, food, good food. No, you want drink. He's going, no, just leave me the fuck alone. I'm just trying to fucking get... That's what
Jamaica,
that would be like.
Now, in Jamaica, they try to sell you drugs underwater. They are snorkeling trying to sell you drugs.
No way.
What? I am not even kidding.
No way.
What?
Yes. They warn you when they pick you up, and this is back in the 80s, that, you know, when they take a stop, that they might sell you. But when we were at our resort, they were literally snorkeling underwater to try to sell you, whether it's pot or coke or whatever. And I'm like,
that's mad.
Snorkeling.
What?
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
How do they? How would they? Is it sign language? It must be just sign language. Is it?
I mean, they just show little baggy.
I mean, looked on the bag, weed, coke.
Jesus.
Well, if it's white,
Christ.
You know what it is. Right. If it's green, you know what it is. You know, what I'm
most
saying?
Of the crazy. Time.
But I couldn't believe. I mean, I didn't snorkel right off of the resort. I went on a snorkeling cruise, a nude cruise.
Yeah. Did you? A nude cruise?
I did.
I didn't know they had nude
only
cruises.
Because.
We need proof. I don't believe you.
It was at the Hedonism 2, and I was in my early 20s, and I was actually on my honeymoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that, babe? Would you go on a nude cruise with me, Mrs. B?
I would, but you wouldn't.
Would you really? I'm so offended.
It wasn't. Well, it wasn't.
Because he won't go on a lame one.
I wasn't going to go.
That bleep you just heard was us bleeping out Mrs. B's name.
Oh, shit. Let's do that again. I'll go to a nude thing with me.
I never thought I would. But I missed the prude one. They call it the nude and prude. I missed the prude one. So we
nude
had
and prude. So
nude
like
and prude. So I went.
Polar opposites though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because the one you wear your bathing suit. And the
so
one,
this
you
one, you're all naked and you're just like, oh, don't look at me,
no, no,
covering
no,
up,
the,
no?
No, the prude one is where you wear your bathing suit. The nude one is where it's optional. And so I thought, oh, yeah, I'll go topless. And then there was a naked man taking pictures of me. I'm like, dude, take pictures of your scabby girlfriend. What are you taking pictures of me for? You
know? Jesus.
It's a public boat.
Taking pictures of it.
And then I saw that they had the sail, and I just happened to look around, and from the waist down, all I saw was a bunch of naked guys. But you know what the creepiest thing was? Is that as
that.
As you would think, but actually that made me happy. I'm like, I'll take him and him and him. But is when you go snorkeling. No, I didn't get the drugs there. There was somebody snorkeling with their face up. And I'm like, well, that's just creepy. You're a pervert. So really?
No way, were they?
Yes.
Just laying on the bottom, looking up.
Well, because it was 26 feet down in the water. And there was a guy snorkeling with his face up.
Yeah, I would do it.
It was probably you.
Seven. He was seven.
The only boy with a water on the underwater camera. Definitely. Which I don't give a fuck.
Here, so, all right, okay, so... We've talked about this, the whole, I didn't know there were nude cruises, but nudist beach I knew about. So here's my thing, right? So you're walking along, talking to somebody, right? And what's crack, man? How are you? Guy, he's naked, you're naked, your missus is naked.
Mm-hmm.
But he sees her, his dick starts getting hard.
Okay, we have.
Can you be offended by that?
Do you
have to just be like, oh.
But that's like somebody proper checking out your missus even when she's dressed.
But you don't see it.
So don't, why are you looking at his cock?
Because it's hanging there.
It's the size, if a balloon started being inflated at your feet, you'd be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
No, so, you would just turn it. Well, if you would probably turn and ask her, what do you think?
Would you go on a nude, have you been on a nudist
no,
beach?
No, I would do it though.
You would, I know
okay,
you would do
all
it.
Right, here you go.
You go in the changing rooms and bend over and dry yourself with your ass in the air and shit.
I took my son to a topless Cancun resort.
Yes.
Well, that just seems like equality in motion, so...
But the reason why we did, because our Belfast cousin was getting married there. She was across the street, and so we were at this resort. We met them there. And I told Martin, I said, I'm going to go check it out, see what's going on until the family gets here. And I said, oh, crap, this is a topless resort. And
so
I,
you didn't know?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
And my son was 9, and he was a boob guy. And I said, talk to the boy, because he cannot be staring. So my boy had his baseball cap on and sunglasses, and his eyes were back and forth.
Brilliant.
Well, probably one of the best days of his life.
He was not a sad guy. Although there was a lot of boobs that could have ruined him for life. Oh. Especially when there was an English couple there and the husband had bigger boobs than the wife. We did not go topless because we were there with family, and that would just be creepy.
The Bloody Basement Podcast.
By Mr. Black Pasta.
Now, we were in our room in Cancun, and we're looking out, and there was another, like, where you could lay out across, and there was a very large woman that was topless, and I said, close the curtains, we don't want to ruin the boy. He does not need to see this.
Or spoil him.
It's like the naked man and friends.
Yes, it was
ugly,
it was that
guy.
Scenario. It was an ugly naked guy.
Well, let's take another track and take a little break. I'm going to take a track from the same concert that we were at that Joe wasn't invited to on purpose.
Wonker.
This is a song by...
Becoming clear.
This is a song by another Derry artist. known as Connor Mason, and it's called We Watch the Sky Rotate on the Bloody Basement Podcast, not the Joe Show.
Thank you. Just going to play some guitar.
That was Connor Mason with We Watch the Sky Rotate. That was filmed live in Derry.
It was amazing.
We've got a dog in the studio now.
Which is
so if you hear any popping in the mic, it's because the dog is licking its vajayjay on Mrs. B's lap.
That's because she needs to see my dog.
And there's a head bump. We'll probably get a wee... Toodles, speak. 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 Speak.
What was that?
Speak. Good girl.
There you go.
That's impressive.
That's my Disney dog.
That's the first cat I ever heard to.
We actually saw a video of a cat that was barking until the owner snuck up behind it and it turned around and looked. It was going
no, not that way.
Meow, meow, meow. You ever seen that?
No.
Caught out there.
It was caught out by its owners. They were videoing, sneaking up on him. Wow. He was barking at a dog outside the window.
That's crazy.
You let her out there.
Yeah, because she's just.
See, I told you. They don't.
I know. There you go.
Bye, Toodles.
We tried.
Go lay down, or it's bath time. That normally solves it.
Yeah, right. Oh, you want a bath?
Does your dog hate the bath as well?
Oh, yeah.
Connie, it does?
Oh, yeah.
Don't know what it is about small dogs. They don't like the bath.
Ours don't. When we wash them, but if we take them to Elaine's, if we take them to sister-in-law's grooming shop, They love it.
Because you think Washington holding them under the water and shaking them for 30 seconds? You think
no,
that's
I had
them
in a power hose and they spun circles like grass. Looks like someone was doing donuts on a moped.
I don't want to do that. My dog deserves that right now. I'm going to do that.
So,
sorry, I wasn't finished. They made demi dogs look as if they've they look as if they've alopecia.
That's what I used to call calico cats, alopecia cats, because I didn't know. I thought that's what they... I was like, where's the alopecia cats? Like, what? American. Calico? You'll know Calico,
yes, I
Connie.
I do.
Because you're great Americans.
That's right, because we are.
We are. We invented everything.
Everything. Everything's bigger. Just we're huge.
Just not immigration.
Who invented the Matrix?
Here's Americans. Me. Giving you the finger.
Well, Connie.
You should actually call this fucking like an immigration radio station or something.
Immigrant radio. Immigrant radio.
A podcast. Every fuck you bring in, he just come off a banana boat. It's just a big white look. If you bring a drone over his over the studio, you'll see the big fucking helicopter pad or the parachute landing.
Well, this podcast could be raided at any minute. You know? Nobody's safe here between me and Connie and Saiva. Actually, with Brexit, where none of us are safe but Joe, this may become the Joe Show very soon.
Yeah,
we'll be doing this via Skype.
I'll do this now. You're not. You're
so
gone.
I might
you're
be
gone.
Living in Latvia.
You're right,
then.
You're right.
You might have to. It's all right. We're going to build a wall between here and the rest of Europe. It's going to be sweet. And we're going to make the South pay for it.
Bring a couple of Mexicans on.
So Connie, you've got a lot of really great things going on, but at the minute you're facing some pretty pretty tough stuff I've been through myself.
Yeah, I never expected it because I've been coming
here.
Well,
tell
for
us
so
what's
long.
Going on first. I know you've been on UTV, you've been in the Derry Journal. Is that right?
Yep, I was a front page news on Friday,
BBC.
And then BBC not yet, but
the radio.
No.
Have you not?
So
been
are they all? Sorry, are they all back in?
Yeah,
like is UTV and all's back in
you. Yeah.
So you actually were you on TV? Like
yeah, last night.
Wow, well, I don't watch the news.
Yeah, where were you?
Too depressing. So I'm happy
well,
to see
fair
you.
Enough.
Do you know what I mean?
I tried to make it light, and then I was also on Drive 105 last night.
Great.
So I'm waiting to get the link for that.
It's
to
my
share
favorite
it.
Dairy radio station now.
What is it?
Is it
Drive 105? Yeah.
I was with Tom Bradley. I mean, with him. I wasn't with him. I was actually.
Ooh.
Let me clarify. Interviewing me.
Would you call him Wee Tom or Big Tom?
Doesn't take you long anything to get a green card.
He's much younger, so probably Wee Tom. As a mother, come on. My son would be 27, almost 28.
Oh, jeez.
Come on. But because we lived here in 92 and 93, and because Martin was a research chemist and had applied for jobs and never got an interview, he was on benefits. My daughter was in school. She went to Sleevemore. I didn't think it was a big deal. I was dealing with a lot in the States when he came here, because again, he was gone in 2 days and I had to work full time and I was juggling. We didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I knew that I wanted to live between both countries and mostly probably here, but I wanted to keep our home because it was close to our daughter. And so when I had to downsize and put everything in storage and I came here in May of 2017, I didn't know what was going to happen. And then Martin asked me to stay. And I realized I needed to stay. His family did what they could for him, and it, you know, I.
And
needed,
what was the reason for him coming back here?
Cancer.
Yeah.
His mother told the older sister, "You tell Martin I've got his ticket. He needs to come home." So when you get the letter, "Mommy's got your ticket. Come home." Apparently, that's what you do. And
get out of your voice.
I married the only boy out of six.
Yeah, wow.
I know. How lucky was I?
Absolutely.
I had an Irish dairy mother-in-law.
So what happened? What has happened between the time you guys came back to now?
Well, when I got here in May, him and I were trying to get my status, but we kept hitting a brick wall. Nobody knew what the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing. Nothing. We went to Dove House. We went to Citizens Advice. Citizens Advice says, "Oh, go to Dairy Legal Aid." It had closed down.
Really?
And they didn't know it.
Wow.
And then how do you find it a solicitor? You don't know. I mean, we kept trying. This is in between hospital
visits. I found
visits.
That part hard as well, yeah.
Yeah, try to find someone you can trust.
Yeah, like with Kevin Casey, no?
He's not immigration, so you need a specialist
yeah.
for that.
Right. Yeah, you do. And you know, and this is in between Martin's doctor visits. He had a hospital stay, and then we were fighting to get off John Street. Mm. So it was a lot to deal with, and I was yeah, more
actually,
focused.
I remember, it's funny that you say that. A lot of the people listening will know one of the productions we did called The Line, which featured Keelan McLafferty as Andrew the Line. Andrew the Line Liner. So you were actually, he got your flat when you guys moved out, and he was fighting to get out of there as well. It wasn't a great place to be.
No.
And because of the yeah. people, not even yeah. the flats were
no, the
nice.
Flat was like, great. Yeah. I mean, it was bigger. I mean, granted, we only had the view of the Salvation Army, but it would have been doable if we didn't have to step over drunks, didn't have screaming drunks all night, have somebody shit in the lobby and piss in the elevators, and my husband yeah. was tenant rep and cleaning it up.
Yeah, well, they
and then we were threatened. I was threatened
really?
On New Year's Eve, not New Year's Eve, New Year's night in 2018. I was threatened that I'd get my jaw and fingers broke so I couldn't open my mouth or type. We got screamed at walking to Iceland. Fucking American scumbags, go back to America. Yeah,
Jesus.
We were, yeah. So, yeah, so this is what I was fucking dealing with in between trying to get my status and my husband being in the hospital during the summer and doctor visits, his eye getting jacked up because the tumor, you know, was start. You know, please, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I tell you, you know, you're lucky you got out of John Street because we.
Well, that's because I took it to the fucking media. Is why I did. We were in the Belfast Telegraph, and I was getting ready to sue for breach of contract.
Yeah, well, Keelan had a very similar problem, and he got out of there. I mean, it just was it was terrible. You know, there's one thing. Obviously,
John Street's known. You know, they have apartments,
but they could
there.
Clean that up.
But that's known.
That's what they promised. And Martin was willing to do it. Nah, he cleaned up the building. It was a brand new building, and Martin was tenant rep.
It was yeah,
and
great,
he cleaned
great
up the
spot,
first
great
time.
Area.
And I told him, I said, dude, I mean, he was telling me what he was dealing with, and I was actually we would video chat, and he's wiping up piss in the elevator in a brand new fucking building. Mm. I said, I lived in a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house, corner lot with a screened in pool in a quiet neighborhood. And I said, dude, I'm under so much stress. I can't come to that. I said, it's got to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
I said, I can't deal with that. I've already...
Martin
my home is my sanctuary.
Happen.
And yeah, and so did Mary and Sinead and a couple of the other tenants. And then I get there and it was okay. And then it started up again because of the new derelicts, I'll use that word,
yeah.
That they let in. And it just, and I said, Martin,
I don't know what it is with that because then like the apartments right next to it would be great. Great tenants and all, but...
Well, apparently that one went through its troubles too, but it's like, you know, my husband was dealing with cancer, and he needed... And then he was worried about me, and it just caused us... I mean, I was hanging out my window all the time taking video for the police, and then we even had our communal door broken out, and the glass and blood and everywhere, and it was our video that the police used.
Wow.
This is what we were dealing with in between doctor visits, hospital stays, and then I'm trying to get my status.
There's a lot of we were always see down there John Street. There was always always us running around down there. Was you see if you go in there, you come out in a box. Boys was killing themselves left, right, and center on there and everything.
Yeah,
seriously, like when we were all younger.
It's crazy because the flats are not bad at all.
No, like, I mean it was a bigger flat. The flat was gorgeous.
Apartments for Americans.
Well, the flat that we had was bigger than what I have now, and still small than my house. But
listen to this vacuum
it was doable.
Cleaner over here. Fucking back.
Fuck up, lad.
Trying to set an example by not using that while we're recording, but no, he's still.
I'll give him the proper sound then.
Can you not get the old one back? The super silent one?
It's almost like Darth Vader.
Isn't it?
I am your father. Oh,
I got a CPAP machine today, so I'm going to experience a bit of Darth Vader. But anyway, please continue, please. With he was trying to clean this place up,
which he did. The first, you know, and then when it started again, and I said, "This is never going to end, Martin. This is never going to end." I said, "We need to go," and so I mean, and here I am standing on the radiator, always hanging out the window. And then we're getting the screaming and the yelling and all that in the middle of the night. And then I came home from...
And that's in the flats. That's not just outside the window. That's inside the place. I've
well,
been there.
Yeah, there's been that. Yeah, because I have video inside. In fact, it was quite interesting that I was in Brickworks to get my comedy ticket. And this guy walks in and I, funny enough, didn't really... I mean, I recognize him now. And he says, "I know you." It was like 11 o'clock in the morning. "You videotaped me at John Street." I'm like, oh, shit, what is he going to do? And he goes, I want to apologize.
Oh, really? Yeah,
yeah?
Cool.
Because he heard about that Martin had passed. And I said, you know what, I appreciate that. You know, and I did. I truly appreciated that. because he has kids, and you know. And I said, I'm not done. I mean, I had 54 shares. I have the last time I looked. I went to the media with it because it's like, this is not okay. You're putting responsible people in danger.
Mm. Sorry, what do you mean 54 shares?
Was on with my Facebook, because I had John Street nightmares, and I because I had to go public with it because I thought nothing's being done. I thought, okay, Jersey Girl
you
coming out.
Keelan going through that as well, don't you, babe? Yeah. Crazy. I mean, I came over one night to Keelan.
I remember when he moved in, and I'm like, oh, bless your heart.
I'll tell you this here. I'm fucking raging. I didn't meet you before this. Because I would probably know half of the scumbags that's on there.
Yeah.
You know, Phil? Because that was being screamed from the streets all hours of the night.
I'm terrible at names, like, but I would have known them. Not the actor tough guy, but you know. If I had went down there and seen you walking out and with me, that would have changed everything.
I was Joe the Don for a reason.
That's so... And even you walking down in Iceland, I'm shouting that, you know. Passes me off.
Put Iceland's windows in on his mother's life. Mm. He'll do it. No questions about it. Anyway. I'm not helping him, though.
No, I suppose just shout that. You're looking through the windows. That's who's helping.
I'll shout Joe while he's doing it.
The Bloody Basement Podcast.
By Mr. Black Pasta.
So, did you move over in... You obviously moved... Yeah, of course you did. You moved over into the flat with Martin. And how, what did it take to get you out of that and into the place that you guys...
Me going to the media and calling the police.
And kind of well,
we were in the Belfast Telegraph and then Martin... But Martin worked very closely with that, you know, with Habitat and Grania and all that. And they loved him. And, you know, the fact that now his eye was getting jacked up and there was more things that we had to deal with. Grania had suggested... where we live now, and I said, and his sister was like, no, it's too far, it's this and that, and I said, well, let me check it out, and we went up there, and I said, you know, let's just go and see, and I was just like, I didn't want Martin to see my face. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is so fucking amazing, because it's cow, I mean, I'm used to quiet and peace, because everybody kept saying, and I'm sure you would say, oh my God, are you like so excited moving to Ireland? I'm like, no, I'm not. Lived there before.
You had your home in the States.
And yes, and I was happy to be there.
No matter where you were going, you had your home.
Yes, and it was my first home in my entire life for 17 years. And I said, no, lived there before. Kind of got screwed. And yeah, no. Oh, you know, and this is what everybody kept saying. And then I'm thinking I have the view of the Salvation Army and then drunk screaming and I might as well be in New York City. So then now where I live now, I have a view of the Donegal Hills.
Yeah.
And I'm right by the country. And I'm like... people can be jealous. Mm-hmm. They can be well jealous because, you know, I my neighbors are fantastic and they've been supportive and they will fight for me to stay. My neighbor upstairs is like, I'm not letting you go.
Uh-huh. Well, so how did immigration even get in contact with me?
Yeah, well, because I do actually want to be able to travel and I knew that I would not be able to unless I had my status. I can leave the country. Doesn't mean they're going to let me back in.
Yeah, I was there as well.
Unless you come through double.
So I...
Not
well,
anymore.
No.
They've linked the systems now.
Are they?
Yep.
No, I just knew that if I wanted to go to Florida, see my girls or see my friends, that I would not necessarily be let back in because it was the same for Martin.
So you tried to do it right?
I did, like an idiot.
And then they tried to fuck
and they're like,
so you moved over here with your husband, to your husband. How long were you together?
We've been married 30 years.
30 years.
Wow.
So 30 years
and
together.
He's been my best friend for 43.
Wow.
Since I was 14.
So
it's not like you're married.
And I'm not even that old, you know. I don't know how he's been my best friend for 43 years since I'm only like 39. But, you know.
It's increasing
by
decades.
Wait, my daughter's 37, so I'm thinking I'm 36. What?
But that's class, though, and that's even nice to hear, though.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not married a fucking week. And he's over here, bastards and government. Eh?
So you've got a great long history with someone that's the closest person to you and his family.
Yeah.
And you've left your family to come over here because he needs care.
Yes.
And
I didn't get a carer's allowance. I didn't ask for money. I didn't do any of that. I just wanted to be here with him.
Yeah.
And I got to spend the last year of his life with him.
And you exactly. And now now they want you to leave? That sounds so ridiculous.
The home that he got for me, because I think he waited till he knew I was safe. Because in the place that we're in now, I said, you know, hey, Martz, you know, where's your pictures? We need to put your pictures up. Because I had the kids and then mine. He goes, this is your place. And I went, what are you talking about? And,
wow.
And even in the kitchen, I said, you know,
I get that.
This is all my stuff. And they go, where's, you know, he goes, this is your place. So he wanted, and then we were there a week, and I had a, we were in the cancer ward. I had to call an ambulance for him. And then they didn't think he was going to make it, which I'm thinking, what? You're crazy. And they called him Lazarus in the hospital. And then it was about a week and a half.
Because he just wouldn't, he was strong.
Oh, yeah. You know, the doctor's talking to me, and I'm like, you're an idiot. You don't know who you're dealing with. You're just coming on this case. They gave him 3 to 6 months when he got here in 2015.
Wow.
That's why Martin said, he goes, don't listen to them. He goes, they gave me that in the beginning. You know, don't listen to them. And then, and then when we took him to hospice just for some respite to get him fluids and all that, 3 days later he was gone. So we were in that place maybe a month.
I remember it being so sudden because
it was
a huge shock. And now they want you to deal with this.
Uh-huh.
Now, go back out. I can't imagine, and I've said to Mrs. B when we've talked about your situation, I can't imagine us moving to Latvia, being in Latvia, and then something happening to her and them telling me, well, now you got to go. I wouldn't want to leave the last spot she was.
And this is all my stuff is here, all the stuff. And I said, and I'm thinking, they think I'm going to leave the 30 years of my, we lost our son.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, this is all I have left of my life with them, and you think I'm just going to go back in a suitcase?
Well, you lost your son too, so I might try to.
Yeah, Jesus. When he was 16. Watched him. I watched my son pass. I watched my husband pass. And then a few months later, I watched my mother-in-law pass. Kind of feeling like a black widow, ain't going to lie.
And you're so incredibly strong.
I pulled that mic there, fuck's sake. They're probably here.
See
like.
My ring? I should have said that. I'm sorry. There's no video. I was showing. Oh my god! Not my. Oh my god! I can't believe I said. See my ring.
Well, you are incredibly strong.
You really look after that ring.
It's a spider on my finger. God.
See when your car wrecks on the way home tonight, Joe. Yeah, you can thank Martin for that. Or Andrew. Maybe both.
Let me say that shit.
If it goes left and right, you'll know what's up.
You're actually driving and thinking about it now.
I wouldn't sleep at night doing that shit there. Fucking melt my head.
I am telling you.
I want to get a wank in peace.
So tell me, maybe you want to talk about it, maybe you don't. You were telling me that you still hear Martin.
Yes.
Yep. And he has ways of messing with you.
Yes. And this is part of my act. I probably shouldn't give it away. I hear him at inappropriate times saying inappropriate things. Even at his month's mind, it was like, I won't go into the one part but we're sitting there and the funny thing is, they had his picture up. I said, up on stage. And they're like, no, that's an altar. I'm like, potato, potato. There's a mic. There's a podium. It looks like a stage to me. And so they're going the whole Catholic thing about Resurrection Day, which I guess is the zombie apocalypse. I don't know.
Revelations, baby.
Yeah, whatever. Because even as a little kid, I'm like, that's kind of freaking me out. And so I hear Martin going, because both my son and my husband, they're both cremated. And he goes, how's that going to work for us? Are you going to tape us together? Are you going to glue us together? And I start snickering. And my niece goes, were you snickering during this? I'm like, you have no idea what they're doing to me. None.
Shit.
Yeah. And then, I've even been talking to him because I understand passing more than most and all that. And so I was talking to Martin because he's been my best friend. And I was talking to him and I said, I kind of like this guy, but he's just like being all weird. And I just wish you were here so I can talk to you about it. He goes, if I was there, I wouldn't be talking about you dating other guys. I went, yeah, right. Suppose that's true. But
so watch your back, Joe.
So you
wee, you wee dirty, filthy, wee cunt.
Yeah, whatever you're on there.
You wee skank. Martin's going to get you.
You wee slave.
When you wake up in the night crying out for Martin, you know why that's in
Party
your head.
Marty.
You wee fucking douchebag. Hit him, Connie.
And how long would your husband pass?
In May.
Shit.
So it would be 10 months this Sunday.
And are you dating other fellas?
Or was define that part dating. Of
your joke? Define. So you're just smashing?
God.
Well,
you can take that one to the States if you do have to go back. You can let that catch on. That'll be because of you. No. The word smashing.
Smashing's our passion. That's what we're here for.
No. And he's married. Why is he asking me?
You brought it up. Hey, we're all friends here. I don't say I want to smash you. But I know our boys, you would.
So what do you
say? And you do need a job. Cast a hand.
Come up.
You can show him your clean ring.
My spider ring.
Jesus Christ.
My spider ring.
I'm so embarrassed. I don't know what's appropriate, what's offensive, what's not. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're getting offended, just turn it off. Don't fucking write me a letter or tweet at me. Just fucking turn it off. Don't listen. You knew what you were getting into. This is
so how old are these
episode
guys?
Two of season two.
How old are these guys?
I always said I'd be a cougar.
If you're not at least 32, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Well, I know by his 31. He's 31 and a half.
Yeah.
Well, let's take another track, right? Let's take another one from Blood. This one's called The Night. This is Blood Live. This is from the same concert, what we've been playing all night. And then we're going to play some of Martin's stuff. What the fuck is up with that? He's vaporizing again. He's vaporizing again.
Oh, God,
the Bloody Basement Podcast. We'll be back.
Letter live.
This will be song about... somebody. It's very dark. It's really dark.
I'm going to tell the truth.
Tell the truth, Jeanette.
It's about all them nights we lie awake and can't get your head to sleep. So it's everybody and anybody got a wee night like this.
My socks.
Well, she's showing her socks.
More to the point.
So,
she's got a pair and Suzanne's got a pair.
This is called The Night.
Oh, whatever.
Hold on a minute. Rory gave her a bad look.
Rory's like, no. Please. It's a new guitar.
I got it last Christmas for my birthday. To myself.
I bought myself a Christmas.
Because my birthday's Christmas Day. And don't say that. She gets double everything. She gets double roasties, everything.
Such a lie. That's why I have dogs. Unconditional. Don't upset him. I'm like, fuck. He keeps her happy. I'm like, fuck. You have no idea. You know, you have an idea, don't you, Sharon?
I feel the darkness creeping over me. Thought shift to black and now the night. And in the recess of my worried mind, thoughts move to cancel out the light. Realize I'm only human. My self-awareness tortures me. Takes me down a road, pain overload, open wounds that won't be healed. You know that feeling. Oh, there seems no way out. You decide to stay or leave. Oh, you can fight it or fly. Realize I'm only human. My self-awareness tortures me. Takes me down a road, pain overload, open wounds that won't be healed. Overload, open wounds that won't be healed.
over me.
Thank you.
Dark!
Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
The Bloody Blade. Oh, for fuck's sake, here we go again.
Bloody Basement
Sir Vapes
Podcast.
A lot.
The Bloody Basement Podcast.
Vape Nash.
Wait. Vape. Mr. Black. Irish Joe,
now.
Also known as Joe from Block. The immigrant American and the immigrant Mrs. B.
The immigrant with an American.
Just a fucking immigrant.
Let me just clarify that.
You're the minority
that.
At this point.
I know.
Let me just clarify that. Mr. Black Pasta. My old name on the Bloody Basement Podcast. That was Blood with a song called The Night. There's Irish Joe here, the Don.
What's happening?
There's Connie Lingus.
Connie Lingus.
There's Mrs. Butt.
Yep.
Butt? You accepted
butt?
That?
What?
Mrs.
Right?
Butt.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, well. You got a nice butt.
Let's I'll see. Roll with it. Proof, I don't believe you.
Every time she walks past, you're looking.
No, I don't, actually.
I'm going to tell Elaine. Yeah.
I never. Butt.
I never checked, right?
Thank you.
I'm on the blondes or more classy.
That's what the girls say.
All right, so Joe's got a new Joe Knows comment. If
you can call
a Joe Knows fact. Will we call it a Joe Knows fact?
Joe Knows fact.
Oxymoron there. But.
No.
Yes, Connie, fact. We should fill you in on our. We have a Joe Knows kind of segment that just magically appears randomly. And it's about facts that Joe comes up with. And I say fact as an oxymoron. So
since he comes up with them?
No, I don't come up with them.
Right, do you want to give us a rundown on some of them?
Ah, shit, I can't even mind now.
Okay, so to recap from season one of the Bloody Basement Podcast, the Joe Knows facts were trees are around a lot longer than sharks. Right?
Yep.
If your nose is itching, you're going to fight with somebody.
Yep.
I should be in a lot of fights then.
Bumblebees. Or bees, sorry, honeybees, or wasps, he's not sure, don't actually land on the flower to pollinate. They just hover above and the pollen magically flows up to them.
No, if there's lightning.
If there's lightning, sorry. So they just.
If there's lightning, I think it's bees, I don't think it's wasps.
Wasps are assholes anyway.
When there's a bit of like thunder and lightning, the bees don't actually have to land on the plant, they pollinate.
Why didn't I pay attention to Florida? We're the lightning capital.
And we're...
I've seen the thunder.
Without bees, there'd be no humans.
Or lightning.
True.
Without bees. Well, that's true, yeah.
Give bees a chance.
You can learn that in a bee movie.
They're
fucking Pixar.
The only
Jerry Seinfeld playing
the
bee.
The only bee movie I've ever seen was Candyman, so it doesn't count.
It's not a bee movie.
Well, there's bees in it.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I saw Caligula, and I saw John Waterfowl.
You saw Caligula?
And John, a lot of
where?
John...
You're showing.
Please
you're
don't tell me you were in like a public theater.
You're
no, because
your
my
age.
My shut up. It was last week. Fuck you.
What? You would love it.
We had B movie night at our place, and my husband and my nail client were always trying to outgross me, and they were trying to outbeat
Caligula
each other.
Will do it.
Well, and so does John Waters films. I'm like, I just need to take a shower. Oh, Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that's like rated one of the most disturbing films, but
I've seen it
At the time. Yes, at the time, yeah. Yes, definitely. But Caligula just had this real weird. Well, obviously the whole fucking thing
just,
is weird.
Yeah, they were out trying to outdo each other in B movies, and me, yeah. The innocent one, and I'm like, I don't like this night.
The only ever boom B movie, I don't remember the name, but I always mind they were like stuck in a room, this man and woman, and they had a. Put a fucking straw in their mouth. There were the bees covered them that much. This is this following.
Oh, I think I remember that.
And they sat in their room and they just sat with a straw in their mouth, and the bees just covered their whole body.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
they
I think I remember.
Well, that is a bee
like
movie.
That is a bee. Now that's like a legit.
We thought
bee movie.
You meant like bee movie, like
the cartoon.
No, well, we talked about Pixar. No, you know what a bee movie is like. Like say, Scream came out, and then someone else brings out Shriek.
No, I never heard of that.
B exactly, because it's a B movie.
Yeah, because B movies are...
Bad movies.
Yeah, yes.
Basically.
John Waters, you have not heard of John Waters?
No. I'm Wild Bat with Angel Michelle.
Well, a Blair Witch Project should have been a B movie.
Yes.
It just happened to take off.
What else was there in the Joe Knows? There was the nose. The nose. If your ears are warm, someone's talking about you.
Yeah.
And if... the recent one was... If you get that... what would you call it? Is it like the machine? The, like a beep? grave? Yeah,
if you get the ringing in your ears.
Do you get that ringing in your ears? It means someone walked over your grave?
No.
See, I got a different take on that.
See, that's not what that... That's the ear... The cells in your ears, the frequency dying off. Look, so that you don't... So that you can, you'll never hear them again. That's why younger people can hear some frequencies that older
Mr.
people
Black
can't.
It's not Mr. It's Joe knows.
No,
like.
Joe doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know.
See, in my
Scotty
world,
doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
What?
In my world, it means something different. It means
you can speak.
Teamwork.
I'm not sure you said you Mr. Black was just left hanging.
I just said teamwork
Mrs.
and had to fist bump her.
She just left him hanging and she was going to pet him. She petted his fist pump.
Seriously, you need to videotape this.
That's nearly as bad as Shelton, like when you're going to fist pump someone like that and they go like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's fucking great. That was the best one. What else was there? But look these up. I'm right. Sharks or trees are around a lot longer than sharks. It's a fact. Like.
Well, obviously, because water's been around a lot longer.
Well, that's right. That's not obviously. You didn't even know. You never even heard it until I told you. Well, you're always
I would expect something in the sea to be around longer than something on
your
the
land. Your eye sees your nose like 300 or 400 times a day, but your brain chooses to ignore it.
Well, yeah, it becomes like anything else. Someday we'll get to a point where we don't even see advertisements like street signs and stuff because there's so many of them. One day it'll just be
your eyes.
That's why they're starting to move.
I'm still like, what? Eye sees your nose, what?
Yeah. They're so like you see like the side of your nose and the you know,
if
it's
it
there, you just don't
look at
but your brain chooses
to become it's become background.
Right. You know fuck all this, I tell you, like I'm not saying that.
But
right.
Your fact is sharks are around a lot longer than trees. There's nothing scientific about that.
But you said it wasn't.
Define a lot.
Do you define a lot?
You brought
Do
you watch Sharknado?
I haven't seen it.
Shark Negro?
Oh, what? Shark Negro?
Is that a thing?
Shark NATO?
NATO?
Well, it probably is because there'd be loan sharks in America and they could be black.
So do you watch like Shark Week? Is that where you got your info with Shark Week?
No. Saiva watches Bark Week. That's how mad about dogs she is. You would watch Bark Week.
She's got a cat.
Is that a thing? There's a Bark Week?
If there would be.
She'll create it.
There would be able to watch. She would watch
anything
it.
To do with dogs, Saiva's watching it. Unless it's, you know.
Or fanny sad. Cat videos. That's a really good thing.
I'm not a cat.
She only likes funny cat videos because when the cats
videos.
Get hurt, she feels less bad for them than she does because she prefers dogs. She's
I'm
racist.
Not a cat person, but cat videos are pretty cool.
They are very funny. Are.
Yeah, I'm not a cat person at all. And I'm a Leo. I'm a double Leo. And I, yeah. And yet me and cats just don't get along.
What star sign are you, Joe?
What? Cancer?
Here's me, why?
Cancer, crab.
Are you I?
Yeah.
I didn't think you would actually know what your star sign was.
I'm not as stupid as you look.
Stop stealing Muhammad Ali quotes.
He didn't say that.
He does.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Wait, we're on about the noise. If the thing you were going to use is...
Oh, yes. And okay. So okay. You've got a theory on when your ears ring.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
In my world, in my woo-woo metaphysical world, when I get that, and I actually had it the other day, for me, it's my, I don't know what you want to say. It could be antenna, your angels, your guides, whatever, that it's, because it, like, it'll be one ear, you know.
Okay.
And for me, it means I need to pay attention to what I'm either saying to somebody or what somebody's saying to me or what's going on in my environment. It's just like, pay attention.
That's a radar almost.
Good or bad.
Yeah,
pay attention.
Well, for me, it tends to be more on the good side. It's just, you know, pay attention. Because I actually had it the other day, and I was with, who was I talking to? And I'm like, oh. And they're like, what's going on? I said, something's going on with my ears. I need to pay attention. Sometimes it might even be a message that you're getting.
Yeah,
but that's okay. In my world. I mean, there's no scientific proof for that. But to me, it makes life more fun than other than I'm going fucking deaf.
I'm open to any of that stuff. Right. And I can get down with anybody's beliefs in anything.
Yeah.
As long as they don't force it on me,
yeah.
You know. As long as it's not churchy. I'm more than willing to.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a theory. You know, I like that one for right now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm maybe going deaf. I don't know. What?
What? Right. You got there before me.
What do you think about that, Joe?
What?
Your antennas?
Oh, but you
didn't hear anything she said, did you?
No, that's
no, I did.
I wasn't sure if you were asking me about what you said. But you were saying that it means that you're going
what
deaf.
What did I say?
You said that every time that it fucking pops.
Well, if you had to pick, what would you be more inclined? Where would you be on the spectrum?
I would just lean in the ones going deaf. I don't need that shit in my life. I go deaf. So when the fuckers do come, they talk to me. I don't fucking hear them. Fuck that.
We need to go to the. We need to go see a cinema with Joe.
No,
or see a horror film in the cinema with Joe.
Oh, yes, oh, shit, please, let's do it.
Oh, is it?
I knew there was something fucking that right.
That enough.
That's what he said.
I was moving up and down there because I moved seats.
Really, I move seats. My mic's fine.
So is mine. You're right about that.
Yeah, apparently this one's not tight enough. What?
That's what she said.
About herself?
She's like giving away the Tic Tac.
Every single time you do that, I'm losing fucking frequencies. God!
Psycho. Mrs. B's going psycho.
Do you want to do it instead? You can clap whenever there's an edit.
Yeah, because you did it way too loud.
No, but you know what it is? It's like when Toodles barks in here when you're playing with her. If you're close to her, it doesn't seem that loud. But if you're back a bit in this square sort of rectangle room, the way the sound bounces, it hurts your ears. But down on the ground playing with her, you won't hear it.
Yeah, but that definitely.
You'll hear it, but you won't. It won't hurt you.
Here, ma. What?
The dog barking.
Here's what your dog, Mama. He's chatting about you.
Just because you have two dogs, you don't know the name of them.
No, I just call them dog one, dog two. Because if you get attached, then they die, and you're like.
And then
run down me fucking hurry, and the dog starts barking at me when they're dead. Too. Fuck that.
That's so good.
Run around the fucking out.
That's good. You need to take. That's your more new material for
I'm getting fucking grocery shopping next month. I go home. My fucking dog treats me. Dogs are dead 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're eating them. So it's not just haunting, it's a possession.
Fuck that. No. Fuck that. Thing, yeah.
Oh, it's a fun I'll life. Come on. Show. Come to the dark side,
so
Joe.
So he says something, Connie. You said something earlier. I don't know even know if we were recording. It may have been before the show, but you said something about. Your husband tempting you to do something while you're in a church. And I thought it was hilarious when he told me.
Oh, yeah, it was his month's mind, which again is all new to me, even though I was raised Catholic when I was younger.
So that's like a month after he's passed,
yeah.
And it's sort of
and
a
they
remembrance
do a service,
ceremony.
Yeah,
okay.
Which I think is, you know, a fantastic thing. And I get there 40 minutes early before the family, and I knew I should have gone to the pub. But as I'm sitting there, I realize, oh, probably glad I didn't go to the pub. Because it was confession, and I'm like, well, that's been a long time for me. And I never understood it, even as a kid, going, what makes this guy better than me?
I heard about this. Too. The priest then fucking hung up his jacket after you were done confession. The priest retired.
No, what my husband, I'm sitting there minding my own business, trying not to burst into flames, and I could hear my husband go, I dare you, you go to confession. I'm like, what? Stop talking. He goes, I dare you to go to confession. I'm like, please stop. Just don't. And then he goes, then I can see, you know, I'm seeing him in my mind's eye, third eye right here, poking your eye. And
that's assault.
Me and my son would do that. And then I can see my husband going, I dare you to go in and go, you don't have to forgive me, Father, for I have not sinned because I'm fucking awesome. And I'm like, oh, my God, please stop. And then I can see my son beside me laughing. And I'm like, are you encouraging him? And this is the whole conversation Jesus. Going on in my head. And my son is like me. He's a wise one. And he's laughing and he's pulling down his shirt. I'm like, I really hate both of you right now because I'm trying to keep a straight face. And I can see what Martin's doing to me. And I can feel the pull. I almost wanted to go in.
Jeez.
Just, you know. And I'm thinking, you're not in your country. You've already, you know, don't do this to the family.
Fucking right. That's mad.
Thank God then the family showed up. And I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And yeah, they probably have no idea that that was going on before they got there. And then, of course, the whole other thing with him, with the whole cremation, that was the same day that I'm like, well, yeah, it's, he tortures me. At inappropriate times, and I'm like, oh.
Great material though.
Well, some of it I can't use.
Yeah,
as you know, I told you the one.
I have the same problem with Joe on the podcast.
I told you the one I can't use. I didn't tell you the other one that I can't use.
I have a question that probably the listeners are probably what they ask. Maybe does it ever annoy you? No, do you ever be like?
Shut the fuck up?
No, but on a serious note, do you ever think like, or would it come to you in the future? Do you ever think that you're like you're dead, you have passed on now, do it properly and leave me alone? Maybe?
Nah.
By annoyance?
Nah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm asking just, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's a good question. Not for me because we homeschooled our son and he was our best friend and I was all about parent, child, blah, 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 but he was our best friend. And same with my husband, you know, we're that connected that for me, it's just about having the relationship in a new way.
Yeah.
You know, because I was telling you that I believe that, you know, we would be sitting, Martin and I would be sitting by our pool and we'd be talking and we could, you know, and I would hear Andrew and he would, and we're laughing and, you know, Andrew just said this. Oh, yeah, he just told me that. And I said, it feels like the old days in the new way. So for me, it feels like the old days in the new way.
Wow. Okay.
And that's, and I'm open to that because just because they're on the other side doesn't mean that they have to be out of my life.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Good answer. Like, good.
Like for me. I mean, that's what works for me. And they're not getting off that easy. They're not getting rid of me that easy. And I knew that my son didn't come here to fade away. Yeah. You know, that's why I continue, like, with the book.
And neither did you.
No.
You know, so.
Oh, and I, my book, No Regrets, because I knew that he was such a phenomenal teacher, even the one-woman show.
Where can we get the books?
Actually, it's on Amazon on in the U.S. and the U.K., available for Kindle. Oh, really?
Yeah, so I could put a wee link in the, a wee link. There's my Irish side. I'm losing the Americanism. I'm not Americanese anymore.
Just a wrong, actually. Where did you say you get the book?
You can get it both on Amazon in the U.S. and the U.K. It is available on Kindle. I do have some hard copies. I got to get a hold of my publisher because when I start my show, because I'm actually pulling stories. Mm. And what's really cool is that the fairy tale sequences in my show actually did happen. And in different sequences. And, you know, I'm just pulling from my experiences. But it would be cool for people to be able to read No Regrets and figure out where the sequences came from. But I'll have them at my shows. But it is available on Kindle.
Wow, awesome. Okay. I'll include a couple links. There's two books, yeah?
Yeah, well, the my first one, so these two dead guys walk into a bar, it's on the U.S. one.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Oh, great title.
And then the subtitle is My Life in the Paranormal, One Comic's Perspective. So it's about my life with a medium, you know, for a guy who sees dead people in God's waiting room.
I'm brilliant. Boss.
So Boss, all my psychic friends are like, is this going in your act or in your book? I'm like, yes! So I'm never at a loss for material. But I have plenty of copies here for that. Because that was a book that Martin and I published, but the No Regrets, and I'm working on my third book, which is Good Grief, which is about how to get through the first year of firsts when you lose a child. Yeah. But I have to be settled and only focus on that, so I need either a real publisher that will work with me on that or whatever, because I have to sit and relive the first year after I lost my son.
Yeah, that wouldn't be easy.
It wouldn't be easy, no.
No, and I have to stay focused on it, because it's all blogged. It's in my blog on
You've got a blog, too?
Yep, pureheartspace.com. Okay,
well, I'm going to need a few links off you so I can put them in the description.
I got a shitload of links, thanks to my husband.
Joe, you got any links for us?
For
you?
Contact media.
No, there's not a Twitter for Irish Joe?
Oh, aye, that's right, obviously.
Mrs. B, you got any links?
None.
Latvia?
Zero, yeah.
Just put the link to Latvia.
She's got immigration forms.
Immigration forms.
Links, that's about it.
It's not links, it's handcuffs.
I have like two Twitter accounts. I got Witchy Comic, and then I've got Shift Happens. I think it's Shift Happens TV. I'm on Instagram, Shift Happens TV.
Oh, class. Okay,
I'm
cool.
I'm on Facebook, Shift Happens TV, because I was doing, Martin and I were doing Shift Happens regularly, and then when he wasn't well, and then I picked it up just 2 weeks after he passed, and I started it, and I was doing it for a couple of months. And now I'm going to start moving it to probably YouTube and start utilizing our YouTube channel.
Absolutely, yeah, you should. Yeah, it's great. It's great for the mind. I find it, I get to sit here and do what I enjoy doing and not have to face the anxiety of the outside world.
Oh, yeah. Until put a Joe camera and mic in front of me. I'm golden.
Oh, I'm not into the camera thing. I'm not into the camera thing. I can do audio all day.
Oh, I can do camera and audio. I am a camera whore.
What about audio? Or what about video for you, Joe?
What? Sort of a slag. What?
What about?
I'm a
slag.
What is it? My camera slag.
Camera slag. What about you? Are you comfortable on video or are you more comfortable on audio?
Of course, man. I'm both. I got a new tripod.
I did that in my bedroom. I had, because I would always videotape myself before I did an open mic in Florida.
All right.
So I'd always videotape, videotape, and it gets better. So, I mean, I was always doing that, working on my stuff, and then I like this, don't like that. So then I kept it up because it just made sense, and then my kids came into the bedroom one morning and they went and they looked at the camera. And I said, no. It's not. Because I had it being over and it was aimed at the bed at this point out of the way. And I'm like, it's not what it looks like. Yeah. And my daughter's 10 years older than my son. She goes, let's go, Andrew. Let's just go. Don't even ask. Let's just go.
The wrong room. Get out. Shit. Just say we're on about the, just she's wrong about like Amazon and stuff like that, where you get your book. I don't know if you're random, but Dairy Girls is on Netflix in the US.
Yes. Is it? Yeah. It's not here. It's not here, no?
No. They Netflix in the US have bought it in Dairy Girls, and the new ad is actually out as well.
Well, if you've got a VPN, you can find a way around that.
Well, Martin had all that, and I lost all that when he, did his dick move and died on me, because we were getting all the American stuff, and I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, dick move. He was probably swapping the DNS codes.
I don't know what the hell he was doing, but we were getting the American shit.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I cannot confirm, yeah. Yeah.
I must get to, when the show's nearly over, I must get Mrs. Beatty video me doing a shout out for them, just to send it, because the owner of Dairy Girls I grew up with, she's actually from Bishop Street, from Ivy Terrace.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And her mother is a friend of mine.
Her ma's actually my ma's best friend. Anne McGee?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anne would be Anne.
Oh, shit. So.
You probably know my mother, maybe. Anne McFay. McCluskey would have been her married name. Yeah. I'll show you a photograph of my mother after, because she's gorgeous. Like, she was a beautiful, beautiful woman back in the day. Like, everybody loved her. Like, she's talking as if she's dead, but you know what I mean? Pure am, like. But I just, if you take a wee video of me doing them a shout out, and I'll just, a private messenger, do you know what I mean?
Anne's willing to fight for me, too.
Aye.
She says, I don't do walks and stuff. She goes, but I would do it.
So you're friends with his mother?
Not his mother.
No, you called the owner of Dairy Girls. Gotcha. Her mother's called Anne McGee.
Gotcha.
And they're actually from Ivy Terrace, down the street from Ferguson's Lane.
Anne's been one of my biggest supporters as well. She's been really good to me.
Anne's a good girl. She's so good to my mum when we were kids growing up, and good to us. And she's originally from the BSB, Bishop Street.
Well, Joe, I don't want to break your heart, but last night, we tell this together, Mrs. B, we tell them together. Hello. We watched Bodied without you.
What's Bodied?
Happy days, he's not even annoyed.
Okay, good.
Well, I promised to watch Bodied with you and Keelan.
I don't even remember. Shows you how much we listen to you.
It's the battle rap movie Eminem just produced.
Is it out?
Yeah.
You're a fucking prick, lad.
There we go.
There it is.
That's the reaction.
You wonder why I don't like you, Mrs. B.
And that's episode 2, season 2 of Mr. Black's Bloody Basement. We've had Connie, Conolingus. All her descriptive links will be down in the description below. Mrs. B's here, we'll put a link to Latvia for you. And Irish Joe's here, we'll put a link to the definition of jealous.
Or wanker for yourself.
I'll watch it again, though. It was great, and she didn't understand anything.
Did you download it?
We watched it legally.
You downloaded it.
So we'll see you next week on the Bloody Basement Podcast.
Let her see that.
Hold on. Oh, wait, we forgot one thing. Connie, we wanted to play a couple songs from your husband, some of his original stuff. Right, okay, so you've recommended Only Love Is Real and another one called The Dreaming Sea, yeah?
Yeah, because Only Love Is Real was the first song Andrew gave him after he passed, and then The Dreaming Sea was a song that Andrew gave him just for me.
Okay.
Because he knew I was struggling with him as a mother.
Okay.
Him leaving.
So that's the backstory behind these songs. Yeah. We're going to play them both.
That's awesome.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get you back next week for another podcast. Sure. It's been great. It's been a pleasure.
I know.
Absolutely.
It's been great to have you all. Well, I have Mrs. B every day, but not every day she's on a podcast. Do you want to say anything to your fans out there?
Thank fuck.
Do you have any?
Yeah, you do. People are very excited when they know that your presence is on the podcast. You don't even have to talk. They just know you're there and they're happy.
Yeah.
And she's not tensing.
You're not tensing. So, on a real note, seriously, good night. God bless. We'll see you next time.
You don't believe in God, but
every time.
Take a look to the northern sky. See a bright and shiny star. Know that I can see you, and I'm never very far. Let your thoughts and your imagination help connect you now to me. For that is where I come to you, just across the dreaming sea. Thank you. and I watch you trying to make the thoughts of missing go away. Stop a while and think of me and bring me to your door so I can bring you close to me, standing on your dreaming shore. I see you struggle with the things once your teachers taught. Let go of all the questions, it's simpler when you're free. And I will send you all my love across that dreaming sea.
Sliding on this slippy grass, running with the wind and rain, trying not to let it pass. And again, when life is good, I carry on the way I should. I think of you and all I do, and I'll say a prayer for me and you. Only love is real, that's the way I feel. Only love is real, that's just how I feel. That's the way I feel. When you leave at last from here and find your way above the sound of war and death and judgment, drop your meat suit on the ground, come fly away to a higher place where freedom calls for every race. Know there's more to what you see than just the usual mediocrity. Only love is real, that's the way I feel. Only love is real, that's just how I feel. That's the way I feel. I am here for just a while, making sure I always smile. I wanna teach the world to know how to heal and how to grow. And I will walk the lines of time, teaching in my countless rhyme. I'll teach compassion from the start, and I'll keep a song in my pure heart. Only love is real, that's the way I feel. Only love is real, that's just how I feel. That's the way I feel.
Mr. Black Pastas.
Bloody Basement Podcast.